The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
What is your future? Can you really know? How are soon coming world events going to impact everything around you? Can you come to understand the meaning of these events? Can you prove what I'm going to say? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, what is your future? Now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, nearly everything around you is going to change within this generation. Your favorite radio and television stations will no longer exist. The kind of music, the kind of motion pictures and television shows we watch will change dramatically. Your business or place of work will probably no longer exist. Even the city you live in may no longer exist in its present form. How dare I make such predictions? Because there is a great God, and He alone can accurately predict the future. I am His called and chosen servant. Listen, I'm going to prove to you what I'm going to say. I want you to prove it. Go get your Bible if you have one handy. No, I'm not going to just tell you about sweet Jesus. Rather, I'm going to give you powerful and specific prophecies from the pages of your Bible. So follow me. Check up on me. I want you to do that. Turn with me in your Bible to 2 Peter, your New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 19. We also have the prophetic word made more sure, or as the King James Version has it, the sure word of prophecy, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. There is a real God, and the Bible is His inspired revelation to mankind. We need to understand that the great God who gives us life and breath and all things, that God inspired these books. These things He put in here are real, and they're going to happen, and they're going to change everything around you and around me. Turn to 2 Timothy, if you would, in your Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it says here, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God-breathed. Think about that. It's God-breathed that comes right out from God to teach us the lessons we need to learn and to help us understand the future. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 21, and here's the direct teaching of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 7. They ask Him, when will these things be? What will be the sign be when these things are about to take place? And He said, take heed that you are not deceived, for many will come. Many different preachers will come in My name, saying, I am He. They'll tell you about the Christ, and the time is drawn near. Therefore, don't go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. Don't be terrified immediately. There have always been wars and commotions for the last 2,000 years. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Then He said, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. He's using here two different Greek words. The second word, kingdom against kingdom, implies alliances of nations, world wars. And then He said there will be great earthquakes. He didn't say just earthquakes, but great earthquakes, huge earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. I think you know that pestilence means disease epidemics, and we're going to have those, folks. We really are, a lot more than we even begin to realize. And there will be fearful sights or as the Greek word literally means, terrors, terrible things, and terrorist acts, no doubt, as well as other natural disasters that could be described, and great signs from heaven. Picture our major cities shaken to their foundations. Picture our people starving and crying out for food, like the people in Bangladesh and India and places like that so often have had to do. Think about it. God says these things are going to happen. Drop down to verse 22 now. But these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. In other words, he's talking here about the end of the age. He's talking about the end of most of the specific prophecies in the entire Bible, all coming to culmination at the end of this age, just before the second coming of Christ. He said, "Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people." Now, the land and the people certainly include, well, the land we call Palestine and the Jewish people. We know that. But frankly, as I'm going to show you, and many, many, many prophecies show you, the land and the people include far more than that. It includes, frankly, the United States and the British descended peoples of the Commonwealth. That's who it includes. It includes the peoples of the house of Israel. There will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And I'm going to show you during this program that it's talking about our people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. This is talking about the great tribulation, the massive problem that's going to come on the whole earth, and particularly upon the 10-tribed house of Israel. It's going to affect, frankly, hundreds of millions of human beings. Hundreds of millions. And so we need to grasp what he's talking about here. And Jerusalem, in addition to that, will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, and there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And he talks about the heavenly signs and then Christ coming. All of this leads right up to the coming of Jesus Christ back to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At this point, my friends, I urge you to call or write today for our powerful prophetic booklet entitled, What's Ahead for America and Britain? This booklet will give you the key to understanding about 90% of all end-time prophecy. So call or write today and ask for your free copy, absolutely free, of this powerful prophetic booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain?
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. We were talking here about the Great Tribulation, which Jesus is describing in Luke chapter 21. Notice again verse 24. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Think about it. The great city of Jerusalem, which I've seen a number of times, and many of you have seen, will be taken captive once again before Christ's coming. That's pretty specific. That great city over there in the Middle East, lots of people go to it, will be going to it, particularly next year, in year 2000. That city, sadly, will be taken into captivity and into slavery several years from now before the coming of Jesus Christ. So watch. It ought to make your newspaper more interesting and television programs. Watch world news. Understand the great God who guides the rise and fall of nations is saying pretty specific things. Again, understand that the American and British descended peoples absolutely are the lost 10 tribes of Israel. When the Bible speaks about the house of Israel, it's talking not just about the Jewish people, but about the British descended peoples of America, Canada, Britain, Northwestern Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. What does this mean? It means that these prophecies apply to us. Often in the Old Testament prophecies, we have duality. Many prophetic students understand this. You have an early fulfillment and a later fulfillment. And that's exactly what we find here in this prophecy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 25. The great God is talking to our ancestors, the peoples of ancient Israel, and telling them what would happen to them back then as they disobeyed God. And frankly, as you will see in the prophecy itself, what will happen again at the time of the end, because human nature tends to stay the same, and these events tend to repeat themselves. And that's exactly what God is talking about. He talks to our people when they come into the promised land, and he said, when you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land, now we've grown old in the United States. We're here now over 200 years, and we've had many, many powerful blessings, great riches and great wealth. He said, you've grown old and act corruptly. Are we acting corruptly? Do we have one of the highest crime rates on the face of the earth? Do we have one of the greatest divorce rates? Think about these things as they may apply to you and to me and to our city and where we live. And act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything? Do we worship physical things in our lands? And do evil in the sight of the Eternal, your God, to provoke him to anger? I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, God says, that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over Jordan to possess, and you will not prolong your days in it, but you will be utterly destroyed, and the Eternal will scatter you among the peoples. God says he will scatter the peoples of America and the British descended peoples of the Commonwealth. We're going to be taken, frankly, into national slavery within this coming generation. You don't have to believe it. You just watch. I'm telling you. But you'd better pay attention. You'd better heed and turn back to the great God, the God of the Bible. So he says, I will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor smell. But from there, once you've gone into slavery, once you've gone into captivity and are humbled, you will seek the Eternal, your God. Yes, finally then we will turn to God. We will seek God. We will cry out to God. And people will say, oh God, God, why didn't I listen to your servants? Why didn't I pay attention to the prophecies of your word? They'll be more concerned at that time than maybe many are today. Then you will seek the Eternal, your God, and you will find him if. That's the biggest two-letter word in the English language, of course. If. If you seek for him with all your heart and all your soul. That's the whole point, my friends. You and I now, if we're going to be spared from this coming time, need to be seeking God with all our hearts and all our souls. We need to be turning to God with all of our being. We don't have to wear black socks and black hat and go around looking at the floor. God doesn't tell us that, but we do need to obey his commandments, to obey his word, to walk with him in a way most of us have never done before. I mean never, even so-called Christians. Listen. He says, you'll find him if you seek for him with all your heart and all your soul. When is this going to happen? When you're in distress and all these things come upon you in the latter days. There it is. It's going to come on America and the British descended peoples in the latter days. This is a prophecy for now. This is a prophecy that applied not only to ancient Israel, but to the modern 10-tribe house of Israel, which fled from and was taken into captivity, frankly, and then fled from that captivity and migrated northwest into northwestern Europe, the British Isles, Canada, America, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. That's where our people are now when you really understand it. The British descended English-speaking peoples of the world who've had the great wealth, the great power, who shared in all those things together, but have turned aside from God that gave all these blessings. Notice now what God tells us in the book of Micah. I'm going to turn to another prophecy, and this prophecy is certainly talking about us. Micah chapter 5, it's dual, but notice, as you will see, in its wording itself, it's talking about us today. Micah 5 and verse 7. Then the remnant of Jacob. So he's not talking just about ancient Israel. He's talking about the end time remnant of the house of Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Shall be in the midst of many people like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass. who has been like that for the last 200 years? Who sent out more missionaries and printed more Bibles and sent out more doctors and nurses and hospitals and helps to peoples of the earth? 600 ships going to India a number of years ago from the United States to help their famine problem down there. Helping peoples all over the earth. Who does this? The American and the British descended peoples have done that in the last 200 years far, far more than all the other nations of the earth put together. Have been like a dew that is needed by the farmer, have been blessings to other nations. Like showers on the grass that tarry for no man, nor wait for the sons of man. And then remnant, the last generation of Jacob, shall be among the Gentiles, among the other nations of the earth, in the midst of many people, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who if he passes through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. Who's been like that? It hasn't been the little tiny nation of Israel over there, surrounded and outnumbered 15 or 20 to 1 by the Arab nations. They're constantly having to be supplied and armed and helped by the United States. It's talking about the United States. It's talking about the British Empire and the two of us working together as we did in World War I and in World War II. That's what it's talking about. There aren't any other nations that even remotely fulfilled this description. He said, your hand shall be lifted up against your adversaries, and all your enemies shall be cut off. And for the last 200 years, they have been until recent times. We sued for peace in Korea. We backed down in Vietnam, and the tables gradually began to be turned as the pride of our power began to be broken. And now we're bogged down in a war in Kosovo and in the former Yugoslavian area. Let's see how that turns out. Are we going to be blessed in that? I don't think so. And it shall be in that day, says the Eternal, the very day we've been the most powerful nations, that I will cut off your horses, or as Moffat translates it, your war horses. In other words, our tanks, our planes, our submarines, the weapons of war. I'll cut off your implements of war and destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land. That did not happen in ancient Israel when they went into captivity. As you'll read back in 2 Kings 17, the Assyrians moved into that land, Gentile peoples who became the Samaritans. The cities were not destroyed, but they will be in this end time fulfillment. And I will throw down your strongholds, cut off your sorceries. Yes, we have plenty of false gods, so to speak, in our land, people worshiping their horoscopes and following all kinds of paganism and even direct Satan worship. I will cut off your sorceries and you'll have no more soothsayers. Your carved images I will also cut off, and your sacred pillars from your midst. In other words, your idols of worship, your various implements of worship. You shall no more worship the work of your hands. I will pluck your wooden images from your midst. Thus I will destroy your cities. This did not happen, as I say, in the original captivity under Shalmaneser of Assyria. Go read it in 2 Kings 17. The cities were not destroyed. They will be in this end time prophecy on the remnant of Israel. I will execute vengeance and anger and fury on the nations or the Gentiles who have not heard. Also then, after he has used them to punish us, he will punish them. This is the time of the end, and this is soon to come on our peoples unless we repent and unless we turn back to God profoundly in a way we have never done before in our entire national history. Now let's notice Amos, the third chapter. Turn with me to another powerful prophecy that is definitely talking about us. This as well is a dual prophecy, but it's talking about Israel, our peoples, the house of Israel, as we shall see. Amos, the third chapter, beginning in verse 1. Hear this word that the Eternal has spoken against you, O children of Israel. So he's talking to all the children of Israel. He says against the whole family, not just the Jews. The Jews were one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Then you had Benjamin and Levi and Reuben and all the rest of them. He says, the whole family of Egypt, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, all of us, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. He's going to punish us at the time of the end. Notice he says down here in chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear this word, you cows, or you fatted women of high Samaria," as Moffat translated, the fatted women, the spoiled women of modern Israel he's talking to here. Don't get mad, you women. Most of the prophecies are talking about the men, but this is talking about our spoiled women as well, who oppress the poor and crush the needy, who say to your husband, "Drink wine, let's party, it's time to party, let's drink. The eternal God has sworn by his holiness, behold, the day shall come upon you when he'll take you away with fish hooks." That sounds strange to us today, doesn't it? But that's what they literally used to do. They would put hooks around like fish hooks, and you had to move along. They'd put ropes and make the prisoners go right along. Boy, you'd go along if you had fish hooks, you know, fastened in you. You had to move. And your posterity with fish hooks. And he describes how they'd come out in disgrace. He says in verse 6, "Also I've given you cleanness of teeth." He didn't mean that you're brushing your teeth with a certain kind of toothpaste. He meant you won't have any food. "I've given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me," the great God says. You still won't repent as I start to punish you and bring you down. I ask you, will you repent when these things start happening, or will you argue? Most people around you will argue, that, well, this is what I think, and my parents did this, and old Uncle Joe was a good man, I'll just follow him. Well, it's better to follow the God of the Bible. Check up on me. Prove these things. Be willing to change your mind. That's what repentance is all about, my friends. Be willing to learn something new. Understand, and understand the purpose of human existence, as you will learn through these programs and the prophecies of the great God. He says then, "I have withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest." In other words, there ought to have been rain, but there wasn't. "I made it rain on one city. I withheld rain from another city." You're going to find a time when we're going to have floods in one area and drought and famine in another part of the United States. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. "Yet you have not returned to me," says the Eternal. You still won't repent, God says. "I blasted you with blight and mildew, drought on the one hand and too much rain on the other. When your gardens increased, your vineyards, olive trees, fig trees, the locusts devoured them. Yet you have not returned to me," says the Eternal. "I sent among you a plague," he says, "after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I killed with a sword, along with your captive horses, and you still haven't returned to me." Verse 11, "I overthrew some of you," he's speaking here as though he had done it, often does that in prophecy, "I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, a complete destruction on some areas, and you were plucked like a firebrand from the burning. Yet you have not returned to me," says the Eternal. "Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel," God tells our people today, the United States and Canada, "and because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel." Prepare to meet your God. Are we doing that? Are you doing that? The real God, the God of the Bible? Not some little sweet Jesus who's gone far away, who has no power, but the great God and the great Jesus Christ who sits at the right hand of God, who is preparing now to come again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Think about it. Do we know that God? Are we preparing to meet that God? Chapter 5, "Hear this word which I take up against you, this lamentation, O house of Israel." He's talking to the whole house of Israel, not just the Jews. "The virgin of Israel has fallen. She will rise no more. She lies forsaken on her land. There's no one to raise her up. For thus says the Eternal God," listen, "the city that goes out by 1,000 shall have 100 left." God's going to save a tithe. That's shocking, but that's what's written right here. "That which goes out by 100 shall have 10 left to the house of Israel. For thus says the Eternal to the house of Israel, seek me and live. But do not seek Bethel, where they had their pagan gods, and Gilgal, and these other places of pagan worship that had come in during the kings of Israel. Seek the Eternal and live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph." God may break out like a fire, and he says here, in the house of Joseph, not the house of Judah. There were two separate peoples, and Joseph included Ephraim and Manasseh. the two grandsons of Joseph, and those are the ones that were given the great national blessings, the British Commonwealth and American peoples, as you shall see in this powerful booklet, the house of Joseph. So he warns us specifically. He says over in chapter 9 then, chapter 9, verse 13, "Behold, the days are coming when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountain shall drip with sweet wines, and all the hills shall flow with it. And I will bring back," God will deliver us finally in His time, "I will bring back the captives of my people Israel, and they shall build the way cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them." He is going to bless us again. "I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I've given them," says the eternal God. But God will first let us go into this terrible punishment, this terrible captivity, and then He will deliver us. After our peoples have been humbled by the great tribulation, by the intervention of the great God. Turn now to Luke 21:36. Jesus said, after describing these things we've been describing to you before, He said, "Watch, my friends, watch world news. Watch prophetic events and get yourself right with Almighty God. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass." They will come to pass. "And to stand before the Son of Man." That's what God tells you through His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, be sure to call or write today for your free copy of our new booklet, What's Ahead for America and Britain. This powerful prophetic booklet will truly unlock your understanding. Very few people on earth today understand the vital key to prophecy this booklet contains. Yet this booklet is absolutely free upon your request.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in every week at this same time for Tomorrow's World program. Richard Ames and I will be giving you powerful messages on prophecy, on the real meaning of life, on how you can obtain genuine success and happiness, both now and in the future. We'll see you right here next week.
The informative booklet offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.